beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament for the second Sunday in Apostles' Time is from the book of the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words, and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 7th chapter. Brothers, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my innermost being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our gospel reading, again, Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our text. You would think, after all the fireworks that Jesus had done, you would think that more people would believe. Fireworks, like the authority with which he preached, "You've heard it said of old, but I say to you today, now." Or like the dazzling display of his divine power in cleansing a leper, healing the centurion's servant, or calming the storm. Or how about the explosion made when Jesus cast demons into a herd of pigs so that the whole herd rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the waters? More than a few dollars were sunk into that celebration of independence from the devil. The most powerful sound, however, may have been a few simple words that Jesus spoke to a man who was paralyzed. "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." So tender, so clear, so breathtakingly beautiful. You would think after all of that and a whole lot more, the results would be impressive. The people of Galilee should have known Jesus and welcomed him. The Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees should have embraced him. The wise and understanding should have recognized him as the promised Messiah, live and in person. But they didn't. Many rejected him. They said, "John the Baptizer has a demon, and Jesus is a glutton and a drunkard." That's what they say. And so Jesus proclaims woe to them. Woe to Bethsaida and Chorazin. Woe to the towns and cities that have witnessed his miracles but do not believe. Woe to those who do not repent and believe. Jesus must be tired of it, don't you think? Tired of speaking the truth and not being heard? Tired of doing the good works of God and not being seen? Tired of bearing sins, sicknesses, and death, and getting little thanks for it? Tired of doing it over and over again, only to be dismissed, disregarded, ignored, mocked, and threatened? And yet in the face of rejection and ridicule, this is what Jesus does. He prays. He says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." How might the disciples have heard these words of thanks and praise? "That's right, Jesus. Thank God the wise and understanding don't get it, but that he's revealed it to little children like us." "Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean, little children, Jesus?
Are you saying we're not the wise and understanding? If they were like us, then they want to be the experts. They wanted to be in the know. They wanted to be considered wise and understanding. They wanted the respect of friends and family. But there's no promise that you can have both. There's no promise that you can have Jesus and have the favor of the world. According to our Lord, his work is hidden from the wise and understanding, but revealed by the Father to the littlest and the least. Or to put it another way, faith in Jesus isn't a matter of our work or our expertise or our knowledge. Those who have it figured out have no need of a Savior. Faith comes as a gift. It's a gift to the childlike, the dependent, the needy who cannot accomplish anything in and of themselves. And that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? Whether we've got to figure it out ourselves, or whether we are willing to trust the wisdom of God's word. Whether we insist on our own independence from Jesus, or whether we're willing to be dependents, his dependents, claimed by him before the Father. The Father's gracious will is to reveal himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came in the flesh, and this same Jesus comes still to us today. He comes, we believe, in his holy word and in his precious gifts, the sacraments. And still the wise and understanding question, and they dismiss, and they undermine, and they mock him. And still we, little children, receive him, and we rejoice in the things that he reveals to us. Isn't this why we're here today? Isn't this why we treasure so deeply the Holy Scriptures and Holy Baptism, the Holy Absolution and Holy Communion? Because these are the very revelation of the Father to us through the Son. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Which is a really tremendous statement, if you think about it. According to his human nature, as a man, Jesus says, all things are given into his power. All good things and every good gift comes from him. He'll say it again after rising from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And you might remember that he then commissions his disciples, in fact, the whole church, to make use of his authority by baptizing in the triune name and teaching everything that Jesus has done and said. You see in these words of Jesus how deep the connection goes between the Father and the Son. Even in his humanity, he alone perfectly knows the Father, just as the Father perfectly knows the Son. One God, one divine essence, one plan for our salvation. And see how he connects us into this divine life. The Son has chosen to reveal all of this to us. He didn't choose to reveal it to the wise or the understanding, the powerful or the wealthy. He chose to reveal it to us so that we might know him as our Savior and know his Father and be children of that heavenly Father forever. And now the gracious invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about what makes you feel tired, weary, and burdened. And I really mean it. Think about it. Another doctor's appointment. A late night of fireworks. That fight with your spouse. the midterm elections, an unexpected car repair. Or perhaps you're weary in the same way as St. Paul, who said, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Do you hear his weariness? And you know what he means. That sharp tongue you just can't curb, even though you know it's there. That crippling envy. That all-consuming worry. That harsh judgment of your neighbor. That frenzied seeking of rest or relief and help in every place except Jesus and his word. Hear him again. "I will give you rest." He speaks with authority. He speaks with kindness. He knows what you need. He knows who he is, and he knows what he has to give. And I promise you this, Jesus never tires of it. He never tires of the work that he does so that you can have rest in him. Rest for our bodies, rest for our minds, rest for our emotions, but most of all, rest for our souls. Whatever it is that you've been carrying, it is maybe more than you can bear, but it is not more than he can bear. Today, Jesus is here to declare to you a declaration of independence from the burden of sin and from the accusations of the devil and from the threat of death. "I will give you rest." I think that you can draw a direct line from that promise of Jesus to our gathering here together today. The Lord commanded the people of Israel to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But you might know that the wise and understanding twisted that day of rest. In fact, by the time we get to the New Testament, they turned the day of rest into a day of more work, more burden, more law. If it's about what we do, or if it's about what we know, or if it's about how good we are, we'll never have rest. The truth is that it was never about the day itself. It was about what God was doing on that day for his people. About what God was doing on the day of rest, on the Sabbath day, that he might make it holy for us. And about what God is doing here today. What was God doing? He was saving his people. Our Old Testament reading from Zechariah 9 picks up the Old Testament prophecy about Palm Sunday. "Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. That we might have rest is the reason that Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem in such humility. He came not to make war, but to make peace. And he did his work in 6 days. And having offered himself up fully on the cross, you hear his cry, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' He rested from the work that he had done. He rested from the burden of our sin. He rested from the brokenness of the old creation. He rested in the grave. And then he rose again on the first day of the week, a new creation, refreshed, alive, ready to work for us still. And that's why we gather still on the first day of the week. Because Jesus is here working, working his forgiveness, working his promises, working our release and our rest. And you and I both know it, that we won't find real rest anywhere. Anywhere except in him. and in the gifts that he provides. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke. I always think that's such a strange way of saying it, isn't it? I mean, a yoke is something you put on a beast of burden so that two oxen can pull in the same direction. And I can't help but picture, whenever I think of this image, of a yoke with one really strong ox and then one puny, weak little one whose feet aren't even touching the ground. And the big ox says, "Come along, little brother, little sister. I'll pull the load." Being yoked to Jesus is the yoke that lightens the load instead of making it heavier. Or like when a child is struggling to move something large and then the father comes along and says, "I'll get that for you." Jesus put his shoulder under your cross and he hoisted it up and he carried it all the way to Calvary. And then he looks at you still and says, "There, child. Don't worry about the blood. It's what was needed. The job is done, finished. Be at rest. And yoked to me, learn to play and learn to dance and learn to love and learn to live for real and forever." So tender, so clear, so breathtakingly beautiful. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Little children, hitch up to me and come see what I can do." And you know what the best part is? The best part is that for all the fireworks that Jesus has done, all the fireworks he does for us still right here that the wise and understanding don't get, but we little children can see, the best part is that he hasn't even gotten to the grand finale yet. The biggest, the best, the loudest, and the most beautiful part is still to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power.
Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Lord, in your mercy, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth and bring an end to violence and terror. As you have given many blessings to the United States of America and her people for 250 years, grant her good and wise government and sustain her in peace and security, especially so that your holy gospel may be confessed openly and be received gladly by her people. Bless the celebrations of this anniversary, that they may foster unity among us and cause us to renew our commitment to the public good. Help us and all Christians give respect, honor, and love where each is due as servants of Christ in this world with our eternal citizenship in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the union of August and Magdalena, that their marriage would be a source of mutual help and support, deep joy, and as you will, fruitfulness. Grant safe travel to their family and friends, especially to Bob and Lori. Be with Lucas as he moves back to Japan. Bless his life there with good and godly friendships and growth in the Christian faith, that he may remain faithful to your promises in holy baptism. Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen, and give them great joy at the time of birth. Sustain Melanie and her unborn child through her high-risk pregnancy. And we give you thanks for the birth of Tiger Zev to Michael and Jordan and for his care in the hospital. Bless and protect this family. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Comfort and restore the people of Venezuela, and grant your protection to the people of Colorado, bringing the wildfires under control and protecting the lives of those who fight the fires. And we pray that you would protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Grant peace and hope to Linda, her brother-in-law, Frank, and his family as they mourn for Karen. Have compassion upon those who are recovering from sickness or hospitalizations, including Pat, Georgia, Rosemarie, Joe, Karen, and Lorraine. Look with mercy upon Bob and extend his days by means of his heart transplant, and upon George with his upcoming surgery, and upon Maureen who has cancer, and also Dale and Lauren, Kay, Dave, and Debbie. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Our psalm today is Psalm 46, a psalm of thanks sung by the people of Israel because of the mighty deeds of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still. I know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.